All right, how's everybody doing tonight? Doing good? You won't be very long here. Isn't there something else we could be doing? All right, let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Just got to preface this a little bit tonight by something that went on when yesterday was out on visitation. Me and Nathaniel were partnered up, and for some reason I had picked this neighborhood yesterday that it just looked weird on the map. It was like two squares within the other, and I'm just like, well, that's kind of weird. So I said, well, let's go check this place out and go, you know, let's go knock on some doors here and see what's going on. And so we had two groups of four, and we head on over there. Come to find out, it's a trailer court right in the front, no soliciting. You know, and we drive in there, and we're just like, oh, great. You know, and you know, when you go door-to-door visiting, you get that lump in your throat anyways, and you're scared that you're knocking on the first door eventually until you get some, you know, some talking to somebody going on, and then you feel a little more at ease. But you get in there, and I got a lump in the throat, and then you get in there, and it's a trailer court, and usually you just... So I pull up next to Jeff's car. He says, well, what do you think, brother? And he goes, you want to just stay here and knock on some doors till they kick us out? And I'm just like, yeah, right? It's easy for you to say. But so we go. I said, sure, why not? Let's do it. So we get down there, and for some reason, I was just really, really worried. I was nervous. I was just like, oh, somebody's going to come to the door. And there was a guy walking down the road. He had a cane, and he's just an older guy, you know, like Chris. And he's coming down the road, and I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, oh, this guy looks like somebody's going to say something. He's going to call the office. And that's the way I was yesterday. And I was just like, this is wrong. This isn't right. I mean, granted, to go to a door is, you know, and be a little nervous to talk to somebody you've never met before, that's a little nerve-wracking to begin with. But then to be in a place where there's a possibility somebody's going to call the front office and say, hey, we got these, you know, these weirdos out here knocking doors, going to, you know, spreading their religion. And so we start talking, knocking doors. Me and Nathaniel are heading down. And the whole time we were there, nobody said anything. But, you know, it was, in fact, we had like four good talks yesterday. They had three. Me and Nathaniel had a good one. We walked up to the door and said, we're from Blessed Old Baptist Church and invite you to church, but more importantly, what's on that track says, do you know where you're going to spend eternity? The guy goes, well, I go, you ever think about that much? He said, no. He goes, well, yeah, I do once in a while. He says, how can I know? Wow, you know, so maybe he sent us over for just that guy. I don't know. His name was Scott. So we got to talk to him for at least 5 minutes and I got to share a little bit of the gospel with him, and then the door started to slowly shut, so I knew he was done listening. So I said, just please read that, and he thanked us for coming out, and that was a blessing. And I know Jeff got to talk to an older Catholic gentleman, who I think he said something to the effect, I think all the Catholics are out for is our money. No way. Really? Yeah, got to keep that dome looking good, you know. Got to keep it looking nice and polished. But then, when I first got there, though, when I was really nervous and I was looking around, I'm like, why am I so nervous? And the thought, it just came to my head, I said, man, my prayer life just stinks. You know, this morning I got up and just kind of flippantly went through some prayer, and I could have been praying for this moment, whatever God had for me in that trailer park, you know, wherever we knock on doors, you know, just the way I prayed that morning was so pathetic, and it was just yesterday morning, and I'm just like, you know, something's got to be done with, you know, I got to do something with my prayer life, and Lord, lay it on my heart what it is you want me to see here. And so I wrote down some notes, and I guess I just want you to see how powerful our God is, and why, you know, we're going to fret, we're going to worry, we always do. But there's really no need to if we get in touch with the Lord and find out and tap into who God really is and what he wants to do for us. I know Brother Dave mentioned this morning, showing us a room when we get to heaven of all the blessings that could have been ours and all the things that we could have enjoyed and all the things that could have been ours on earth or rewards in heaven, but they'll sit stagnant in a closet in heaven, and because we didn't pray or we didn't trust the God that we serve. So, you know, pardon my title for this sermon, but I titled the sermon, The Great God of Un. Not Oz. Okay, the great God. And we're not going to the Emerald City tonight, all right? The great God of Un. So let's start in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of the better treatment, Testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Am I in the right chapter? But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Unchangeable. Unchangeable. Isn't that something? He's never been different. He's never changed since the beginning of time. He's always been the same God. We read in Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never changed. He's always the same. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He's never going to change. These are verses we read and quote and read and quote and read and quote. But there again, they're verses we hear all the time, but to take time and read it and see, how does this affect me? And to have a God that never changes, what a comforting thought that is. I can pray to him and he's always going to be there. I'm going to pray to him. I can read his book and he's going to speak to me in the same way he's always spoke throughout all of history. Psalm 102, verses 25 through 27. Of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou shalt endure. Yea, all of them shall wax old like a garment, as a vesture shall thou change them, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years have no end. Our God is unchangeable. Nothing can change him. Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. What a comforting thought. But I thought of something. The only thing that can change God is man. We can make him, you can see it in our society today. They take God and make him whoever they want him to be. They make him into a rock and roll Jesus. They make him into a hip Jesus. They make him into a Jesus that's just like we are, and he's not. He's holy. He's perfect. He's sinless. But the Bible says he's unchangeable. No matter what man says, no matter what the Pope says he's Jesus on earth. Baloney. He's not. He's not even close. Then explain to me why when Pope John II died, the church was praying for him to get into heaven. If he's Jesus on earth, what's up with that? Our God is unchangeable. He still answers prayer, and everybody, we can sit here for hours, hours and hours, and listen to testimonies of how God has answered prayer in every one of our lives, no matter how small. I remember when we first moved back to Minnesota, we were in the apartments over in Blaine over here, and I don't know if you remember this or not, but they were replacing the roofs on all the apartment buildings, kind of like now. We were up there and we were having a Bible time around the table, and all the time, dunk, 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 ding, 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 dunk, 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 dunk. You know, we started, hey, all right. You know, but no, there's all this sound of the roof being replaced, and you're like, what in the world's going on? And I can't remember if it was Jake or Emma said, man, it's really noisy in here. We need to, you know, we're trying to talk. And I said, well, let's pray about it. And we just prayed, and I said, Lord, could you silence, you know, let's have these guys quit working, take a break for 15 minutes so we can talk about the Lord and open our Bibles a little bit. And 30 seconds later, they stopped. That is so cool. And that's something you get to share with your kids. Did you see what God did? He's like, hey, why don't you guys take a break? Hey, let's take a break. You know, that's awesome. So just little things like that. And we've seen, you know, Brother Pearson's here tonight. He had a heart attack the other day. What a blessing that is. That's an answer to prayer from a God that does not change. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That's the God we serve. Proverbs 24:21 says, gives a warning though. My son, fear thou the Lord and King, and meddle not with them that are given to change. That's why we hang out in this church. That's why we come to this church, because it's a church that doesn't meddle with change. We stick with the Word of God. We're not stuck with an NIV or an NASB. You know, I looked it up how many times the NIV has gotten a new copyright. You know, the copyright, something has to be changed drastically in order to get a copyright. The NIV has been changed 6 times since 1973 when it first came out. The NASB has been changed 10 times. 10 copyrights. So that means every time it's been changed and changed more and changed more so they can still make money. We have a Bible we can print off the printer back here until we run out of toner and distribute it all over the world and not have to worry about it because it's the Word of God. We have a God that doesn't change. His Word does not change. He answers prayer because He does not change. His promises are true, and we can go to Him every day and get the same answer. But we limit Him. I limit Him. Yesterday, I limited Him. I could have called on Him yesterday, and I wouldn't have been so nervous. I wouldn't have been so worked up. I'm worried about the fear of man bringeth a snare, doesn't it? And that's what I was worried about. Some bent out of shape moron calling the front desk, hey, these guys are here, and they gave me a piece of paper. Can you get them out of here? But so what? We got pieces of paper handed out until that guy. But praise the Lord, nobody called the office. So we got to talk to people about the Lord. Let's go to the next one. Let's go to Hebrews, just a couple verses down. Same chapter, verse 26, verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make an intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. He has never sinned. Can you believe? There's no dirt on his record. I mean, to look at it from human terms and from like a police perspective, we could bring up his record and it'd be spotless. There'd be nothing there. He's undefiled. You can look at what churches have done to Christ and what the new Bibles have done to Christ, and he has spots. He's defiled. The one Bible makes Jesus and Satan the same person. That's terrible. That's not the Jesus we serve. We serve one that's undefiled. Hebrews 9:14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through his eternal spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Praise the Lord. Isaiah 53:9, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. You read that verse in the Bible, you know, where it says, even the thought of foolishness is sin. He didn't even think about it. When the devil was tempting him in the wilderness, it never even entered his mind to do wrong. Never even thought about it. And all the damage he could have done. As a brother was talking on the cross, he could have just said, you know, Brother Dave mentioned this morning, he's on the cross, he could have said, oh, forget this. Yeah, I'm coming down. Boom, and you're gone. He could have done anything he wanted to do, but he didn't. He had to be undefiled. He had to be a perfect sacrifice. And he went to the cross for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He knew no sin. He's on the cross. Can you imagine his first dealings with sin? What it must have felt like for him? The burden is like, oh, man, living, this is terrible. And it wasn't just my sin or your sin, it was the whole world on his shoulders. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So it's possible. It's possible. I think it's possible if we lived in a cave and just had a Bible and prayed to God at 24 hours a day, it's possible we could probably not sin. I don't know. It'd be close. But with our hearts the way they are, thank God for an undefiled and unchangeable Savior that we can go to and talk to. 1 Peter 1:19, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 2:22, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. You know, just it's a Savior. It's a God who we can't even imagine. We can picture it and try to picture what it's like in heaven and what he looks like and how it's like, but how to picture somebody who never changes from day to day. He's not moody. He doesn't feel like, oh, I'm just going to kill them all. You know, it's just like, where's my coffee? You know, it's not like that. He's just even keel, and he's got everything under his right hand, and he's just like, I got everything under control. And he can talk. This just blows my mind. How many tonight, not many more evening services around the world, but around the country tonight, around the world, thousands of services going on in churches, thousands of preachers getting up and reading the word of God. And he's speaking to each and every heart in those services at the same time. That's unbelievable. That's the God we serve. Why couldn't he make me less nervous when I go door knocking? Or when I stand on the street corner preaching? That's, talk about nerve-wracking. Oh, it just... Oh. I'll never forget that first time. I did, man, I'm living. I was scared to death. But I'm glad I did it. But, you know, I was told once by somebody, when I get up and sing, I get so nervous. And she was like, good, that means you have to depend on the Lord. Oh, there you go. So I got to trust him to take care of these things. You mean I can't do it myself? Why would I trust myself? I got such a filthy mind and a filthy heart. I'm not going to share that with you. But, you know, my thoughts are terrible sometimes. My pastor mentioned that, you know, just some of the things we think about, some of the things we do. It's just, why would you trust yourself when we have an unchangeable, undefiled God we can go to? Unbelievable. So let's go. Let's go to the next one. Job 5:9. Job 5:9. The God of unchangeable. He's undefiled. This is one my dad, you met him, he's come here a couple times. He says, have you ever looked up the word unsearchable in the Bible? I said, no. He goes, oh, you got to look that up. I said, okay, so here we go. Job 5:9. I'm in Esther. What in the world? Public school. Boy, that'll throw you for a loop, huh? Let's see, starting verse 8. I would seek unto God, and unto God would I commit my cause, which doeth great things and unsearchable, marvelous things without number. Hey, you know what? You know, God could have wiped out every city that those hurricanes came through. He could allow that to happen, but he didn't. You know, you can kind of tell. In you know, some churches that were praying for these hurricanes, you know, not praying for them to come, but praying for protection. And some of these hurricanes went right around certain people's houses. He does things unsearchable. All of a sudden, the hurricane just goes, you know, this goes around. Or maybe the people on the west or the east coast of Florida are praying a little harder than the ones on the west coast. I don't know. But, you know, you hear these stories about people's houses that were preserved. A pastor friend of mine, they had a tornado coming through their county, and it was heading right for their farm, and they were praying, and all of a sudden it got about a mile away from their house, and all of a sudden it just goes and turns left and goes right and then turns right again. Right around his house. That's unsearchable. How can you explain that? The weathermen, they're always like this. But that time they're kind of like, what in the world is that? You know, that could only be God. The one who made it, the one who allowed it to happen, the one who created everything. And he just kind of took his finger and just kind of went, just kind of like, you know, Tetris or these games, you know, word find. No, that's one of mine, finding words. But he's just up there just kind of, well, he just thinks it. And it happens. And I go around his house. Good. You know, he's doing that but that's the thing. He's doing that. I'm sorry, but it's just hard to fathom. He does that for every Christian at the same time. Isn't that something? It's unsearchable. We can't explain it. And that's the God we have to pray to. So when I talk about my prayer life stinks, it's because I'm ignoring the fact of who I serve. I think that's the main thing. You know, he's just waiting for us to ask. He's just like up there. He said, come on and ask. I'll show you what I can do. Come on. Let me at him. Let him at him. Let me at him. And it was like, oh, I got it myself. And he's like, come on. And then he lets us fall. I'll go over to Proverbs 25:3. A couple pages over. This one blows my mind. Well, just everything tonight sounds like it blows my mind. But Proverbs 25:3. The heaven for height, the earth for depth, and the heart of kings is unsearchable. It's unsearchable. The heaven for height. The Milky Way galaxy. You know how I Googled this today. I Googled. And you know how big they say the Milky Way is across? 600 quadrillion miles. How do you do that? And of course they're guessing, you know? You know, they're not out there with a Stanley tape measure from Menards, you know? The one you get for your birthday every year, you know, the 3-footer, you know, it's 600 trillion miles or 600 quadrillion miles, and that's just our galaxy. Then I typed in, I said, how many galaxies are there? They said in our galaxy, they guess 200 billion stars, and you know, they're talking about putting houses on these things, you know. What are you, stupid? You're really stupid. Hey, why don't you just step back and hey, why don't you talk to the God who just spoke it into existence? And then he said there's besides our galaxy, they're guessing, they're again estimating, you know, they probably took a section of the sky and counted 10 and said, okay, there's this many more sections and we'll times it times that, and this is how many, you know, it's ridiculous. Anyways. So, they're guessing there's 100 billion more galaxies, like this one, 100 billion. And they're sending out a telescope to find the edge of space. Why? What is that going to do for us? What's that going to do? We found the edge of space. Okay, now what? What they're trying to do, I think, is they probably got a laser gun on there. As soon as we find God, we're going to blow him dead, and then we're going to run this place. You're already running this place and it's a mess. It's total mess. 100, you know, get to the edge of space. But I always joke with my kids and say, you know, they send out these telescopes out to the edge of space, and God's up there just kind of going, you're getting close. Almost. But it's so stupid. 200 billion stars to go look at, and they're worried about finding the edge of space. When do you give up? I mean, when do you just say, okay, that's enough. We found out enough. We can't do it. Romans 1:21. This is why they go out and do these things. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. When you don't have God, all kinds of things are going to happen. One, you're going to think you're number one, and that you're in control. And then there's no boundaries for you. There's, you know, like the Church of Scientology, I can do anything within myself. I am capable of doing anything except stopping a bullet or a semi. It's just stupid, but I'm capable of doing anything. But that when you eliminate God and your heart is darkened, you have nowhere to turn but yourself and other men. And men are sinners. Men are deceived. Men have a rotten heart. Men have a bad attitude. If you don't believe me, go to your break room at work and listen for a while. Except for those who work for Brother Darling. I'm sure they got great attitudes. So but here you go. So men's hearts are evil. So they've turned away from God. So what else is there is to try to elevate themselves to godhood, or let's bring God down to us. That's why every other swear word has God in it, or Jesus Christ, or hell. I mean, you just ask somebody that. You say, okay, if there's no God, why are the main three cuss words in America today God, or hell, or Jesus Christ? Why isn't it Buddha? You know, we had a comedian on a tape at home. He stubs his toe and he goes, "Oh, Buddha!" No, he didn't do that. You know, "Oh, Harry H. Krishna, what in the world? Who put that rock there?" No, they don't do that. You know, "Oh, Muhammad! If I did that, you get your head cut off if you do that." You know, "What in the world? Allah!" You know, hit your thumb with a hammer. "Oh, Allah!" You know, that's unbelievable. You know, people be all over, but they don't say that now, do they? No, it's always God, Jesus Christ, or hell. Guys in my laundry crew, "Oh, it's cold as hell." Think about what you just said. What did you just say? That's another thing. It says there the earth, the depth of the earth is unsearchable. Here, now get this. Scientists for all these years have been trying to drill a hole deep enough to break into the mantle. Okay, the crust of the earth is estimated 21 miles deep. And now they're on the cusp of breaking into the mantle. I don't think they want to do that. I mean, what's right under the mantle? All that stuff that comes out of volcanoes? That'd be a bad thing. But why do they have to do this? They're guessing the mantle, you know, it's 4,000 miles to the center of the earth. That's what they're guessing. I don't know how they do that. It's kind of like measuring a light year. "Hey, Charlie, why don't you take that jet pack, why don't you fly out to the sun, hold up this black square of paper, and when the light gets there, call us." A light year is measured how far a beam of light can go in 8 years. Or a year. That's how do they measure that? That's just stupid. Some of these things don't make any sense. But you can look at them and say, "Man, and God spoke that into existence. That was just one of his thoughts." Like Pastor always says, "Oh, and he made the stars too." 200 billion stars in our galaxy alone. "Oh, and he made those too." It's kind of like, poof.
And here we're trying to figure it all out. Why? Why don't you just trust Him? Why don't we just pray to Him? Why don't we just go to Him with our problems? Go to Him with our desires and go to Him and serve Him instead of trying to figure Him out. We have 66 books in the Bible and we can't even handle this. Now we're digging up Dead Sea Scrolls and, oh, we found this in another cave, and old Sam, he's found some papers in his back closet. They look kind of interesting. You know, come on. You know, we just want you to just trust the God who made it and spoke it into existence. It already says that if we were to record everything, the earth wouldn't be able to contain the books. So let's just be content with all we got. And like I mentioned earlier, thousands of sermons being preached this morning out of the same book, all of them different. All of them something that God showed that person. Thousands of them. And next week it'll happen again. What a book. That comes from an unchangeable, undefiled, unsearchable God. Why don't we just trust Him? Why don't we just trust Him some more? Romans 11:33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." We just talked about that. A friend of mine had a Bible teacher in school, and he said the teacher had been studying the Bible for 66 years. And he said, "I have yet to scratch the surface of this book." What a wonderful book. We think we do God service by reading a proverb a day. I think He wants us to study. Look into it. Dive in. Hey, come on in. See what I got for you today. Maybe it'll show you how to get over that nervousness you're feeling when you go to knock doors, Todd. You know, you little wimp. Why don't you just trust me a little bit? You know, it just, and we have a book here that's just amazing. You know, I was just told that Pastor Stevens read through it for the 100th time. And how many times have you heard him say, "Hey, I just seen something I never seen before"? Not like the, okay, here, get this. A guy over in Wisconsin, he'd been pastoring for 33 years. He filled in for my brother's pastor when he was gone out of town. And my brother goes up to him and he says, "Hey, brother," he goes, "I want to show you something I read this morning in the Bible. And it just kind of blessed me. I want to share it with you." And the guy says, "Well, Brother Brad, I've been studying the Bible for 33 years and I doubt that there's anything in there that I haven't seen. Why don't you go move to Florida, put on your black socks and play shuffleboard there and get out of our way?" What a moron. What God do you serve? Mine's unchangeable. Mine's undefiled. Mine's unsearchable. You don't tap Him out. You don't get done with your root beer and throw it away. That's not the Word of God. That's not the God I serve. Ephesians 3:8 says, "Unto me, who am less than the least of all these saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." Riches, not money, not stuff, not things. How about wisdom? How about knowledge? How about grace? How about mercy? How about salvation that we don't deserve? How about peace and contentment in a world that is just messed up and looking for answers, but they don't want to turn to God? Oh, no, let's not turn to God. He may have the answer. Oh, no, 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 no. We're much beyond God. We have college professors and all these programs now that we don't need God anymore. That old book, even though all the answers that they think they've come up with are already in this book. You know, they're giving them drugs now and they're giving them programs and all this stupid stuff. When it says in there, "God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." Wow! No, He can't do that. Here, have a pill. We went to a class for mental illness, and the professor should be taking these pills. But for, they had a list, 32 different medications for schizophrenia. 32! Oh, that didn't work. Here, try this one. Oh, that didn't work either. What number are you on? 7? Oh, here's 8. And they turn them into zombies. They just put them in a coma. And I probably told you this already, but there was a guy at the workout. They called me one day. Say, we got this guy. His name is Terrence Jackson. He's been known for assaulting officers. Would you like him on your crew? I said, sure. Bring him on down. The guy is 6'6", big black guy. He walks in the door. And I go, hey, Terrence, how you doing? I walk up, shake his hand. I said, hey, welcome to the laundry. Laundry, exciting stuff. I said, come on with me. Let me show you something, what we're going to be doing here. Took him back, showed him what he was going to be doing, told him what it's all about. And he said, okay, you know. And big dude. I mean, it's like, wow, this guy is a monster. And he gets back there, and he's coming back every day, doing what he's supposed to do. He comes up one day, and he goes, hey, I feel like I need to go lay down. I said, go ahead. Go lay down. And this guy just performed. He did. He wanted something to do to keep his mind occupied. Over the years, they just ruined this guy. They totally ruined this guy's mind. After a while, he came back 2 or 3 times again, and he'd always ask to work for me. And the last time he came in the door, and he was just like this. He couldn't even think. He could hardly walk. And they think they cured him because he's not hitting anybody anymore. I should, go off your meds and go hit that guy. Hit somebody. Do something. But, I was driving downtown delivering laundry back to the jail one morning, and I'm driving along, and there he is. He's in the crosswalk. And I go, hey, Terrence. And he looks, he goes, hey, Todd. He could barely talk. That's cured. The guy's mind is fried. They come in an illegal drug addict, they leave a legal drug addict. What happens when the meds run out? They don't tell them about the God that can change their life forever, change their heart, and give them peace and contentment and a sound mind. My God is unchangeable. He's undefiled. He's unsearchable. And he has unsearchable riches of peace and contentment that the world doesn't know. You cannot be a Vikings fan and have peace. They're searchable. Anything this world has to offer is searchable. And it's unknown. We'll get into that later. The riches of Christ. The riches is not talking about material things. It's talking about wisdom and knowledge, like it mentioned in Romans 11:33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. And then Ephesians 1:7 says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Can we search his grace? No. It's unsearchable. It's like, I can't, it's just everything about God. You just can't wrap your hands around. And that's the way it should be. The God you serve, you shouldn't be able to get a grasp on him. You should just be wanting more and desiring more. And you read his word and say, wow, that was good. Where else? What else you got for me? What else have you got? Show me. My God is unsearchable. And then last, turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. My God does things that are unspeakable. Unspeakable. The God of un. Verse 15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. Can you even talk about it? You should. But can you even describe? Can you get Get it across to someone who you're talking to about the gift of salvation, the gift of eternal life. It's free. And that's where the prayer comes in, is, Lord, speak through me. It's not up to us to convince them of this thing. Let the Holy Spirit prick their heart. Just a couple weeks ago, again, me and Nathaniel were on a doorstep, and this lady had a mom who was a Lutheran and a dad who was a Baptist. Remember that lady? And she stood there and talked to us. Her name was Mary. And never had heard the gospel. And her mom was a Lutheran, her dad was a Baptist. Never had heard the gospel. But I can sit there and I can tell her, if I have, you know, I can sit there and do all these fancy things and try to maneuver her into saying a prayer, but that's not right. I need to tell her what the Bible says and say, look, Christ, we're all sinners. And most of them know that. All of them know that. They're sinners. But 2,000 years ago, God so loved the world that he sent his only son to die on the cross for you and for me, to pay the price for that sin. And meanwhile, and then if we're praying correctly, if I'm praying and getting in touch with the God of this Bible, the unsearchable, undefiled, unchangeable God who does unspeakable things, his Holy Spirit's going to be, hey, listen to this guy. You hear what he's saying? Isn't that something? Isn't that an amazing thing? What I could do for you if you just trust me and let me into your heart. And that's our job, is just to go out and tell people, hey, just tell them the good news. But so many, I think a lot of times we get wrapped up in a routine. Hello, I'm from Blessed Hope Baptist Church. My name is Todd. This is Nathaniel. We're here to invite you to church. Here's a gospel tract that tells you about the wonderful things of Jesus Christ. What? Okay, thank you. No, but pray and let God speak through you. We pray that a lot of times. Speak through me. Let your words flow through me. I'm just a vessel. Let them come out my mouth as you would have them to come out. Help me to say what this person needs, not what I think they should hear. Help me to say what they need to hear and listen to what they're saying. And let God speak through you and touch their hearts. Unspeakable, for God so loved the world. It's unspeakable. The love that he gave for us is unspeakable. We can't even talk. You can't even put words to it. You can't define it correctly. It's the love. It's so loved the world. Would we do that? No way. No way. 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. The things that he gives, the gift of salvation, is unspeakable. The joy we can have is unspeakable. The peace that we can enjoy, we just sang about that, peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. We can't even describe it. In a world that's messed up, and we can just sit there in a chair drinking a cup of coffee, watching it happen, knowing that we're on the right side. And we have a God that can give that peace. And we need to go out and spread that gospel to others and tell them, you don't have to fret about your paycheck. You don't have to fret about your new car. You don't have to fret about whether your kids are going to turn out right. You don't have to fret about your eternity anymore. You can have a peace and a contentment in this world, knowing that the world has nothing to offer, but Christ is all in all. He's everything you need. Isaiah, now here's another one of those that blows your brain. You know, just kind of, Isaiah 57:15 says, for thus, I shared this with Brother Jeremy last time he was here, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Whoa! Can you describe eternity to me? Can anybody describe eternity? We talked about how big the galaxy is. Our galaxy, 600 quadrillion miles. It's amazing. But can we describe eternity? He inhabiteth eternity. How do you describe that? You can't. It's unspeakable. The God we serve, the one we can talk to, the one he wants to talk to us, the God of heaven that wants to speak to a speck of dust. That's amazing. Amazing. He understands the unspeakable. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Those times in your life when it's so painful. Though you may be lost a loved one, you may be praying for a loved one to get saved, and you just don't know the words to say anymore. And you can't even speak it. You can't even say it. And the Holy Spirit goes up to God Almighty and says, he's got some problems, and here's what they are. He understands the groanings. He understands when you kneel down to pray, the words just can't come out. The pain that you have inside. And he understands. He understands the unspeakable. We have a God that does the unspeakable, and he understands the unspeakable. You kneel down at, I don't know, Brother Jeremy, there may have been times when you were praying about, like you mentioned, you went up on the mountain, what in the world's going on? And there probably were times where he just didn't know what to say, and God says, I know what you're saying. I know what you're trying to say. Just have to trust me. We may not always understand. We don't. A lot of times we don't understand. But he does. When we can't say it, he's like, I know what you're talking about. I know what's on your heart. I know what you're thinking about. Trust me. I got it under control. Just keep trusting me. Just keep asking me. And then last thing, I have a God who I am unworthy. I don't deserve what he did for me. I don't deserve who he is. I don't deserve this book. But he has each and every one of us. You know, we think about the martyrs and what they went through. We think of Paul, and all the time he got beat down where they thought he was dead, and he got up and ran back into town. That's just, wow, that's amazing. And how they preached, and they didn't like him. They would stone him and burn him at the stake. But here we are today, where the government, the media, the world, and everything they don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. Nothing. They talk about God all the time, but they never, ever mention Jesus Christ. They talk about God, that's just flippant. Oh my God. You hear that all the time. And it's just really sick. But they have nothing, they want nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And we can sit here and preach and talk about him all we can, and we think, wow, this is such a hard, hard time. People do not want to hear the gospel. People do not want to know about Jesus Christ. People yell at me when I'm on the street corner and tell me to go home and get lost. So what? But God, in his infinite wisdom, has put us at this time in history. He put us here for this time. He was hoping that we would grasp onto this book that we're not worthy of. He was hoping that we'd trust in his almightiness, his unchangeableness, who he is, and go out and tell people about it, and we are. We're doing the best we can. We can't get discouraged. We're not worthy. We can't sit here and think, well, God put me here, and get a big chip on my shoulder. God put me here to change the Bible.
You know, think about this. And this is another rabbit trail. You know I'm good for those. All the things about the Hebrew, the Greek, a better rendering, a better reading. Pastors mentioning, well, the scholars say, these smarter men, the Textus Receptus, you know, whenever they talk about, you listen to people talking about the translation of the Bible, or, you know, what they say is the translation of the Bible, and they never, ever mention the Lord. Yeah, it's always about the Greek. It's always about the Hebrew. It's always about what Greek and Hebrew. It's always about this man, these scholars, that. But they never, ever mention God. When he said, I'm going to preserve it from this generation forever. In other words, don't you worry about it. I'll take care of it. They say the Textus Receptus is 97% and matches up with the King James Bible. I don't want a 97% Bible. I want 100%. That's the God I serve. He's unchangeable. He's undefiled. He's unsearchable. And he does the impossible. He does the unspeakable. And he'll do that for us if we just trust him and we pray to him and ask him with the right heart. We have a God that's 100% for us, doing right, spreading the gospel, and teaching others about his precious son, Jesus Christ. So we can go. Next Saturday, when I go to knock on doors, I'm not going to care about an old man in a cane walking down the street. I don't care. If he wants to go call the neighbors, go for it, man. I don't care. God sent me out here for a greater purpose, and I serve a God that's greater than you, greater than the God that you deny, greater than the God that Washington denies. And believe it or not, he's greater than any professional athletes. I know that's hard to believe. The guy's got the brains of a thimble. They're out there telling us how to do things. Remember the God we serve. He's unchangeable. He's undefiled. He's unsearchable. And he's unspeakable. He does the unspeakable for us. Let's not forget that in these days. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for the Word of God, and thank you for how true you are to us and what you've done for us. Pray, Lord, that you'd help us to just serve you more and learn more about you and trust you for who you are. Thank you for all these people being here tonight, and bless this time we've spent around your Word. And give us all safety as we part these ways after we sing a song. And help us to pray for one another this week. In your name, amen. All right, let's turn to number 36.